Good morning, everyone. This is the special Finance Committee meeting of August 24th, 2026. Special in that it is in a different day and time. We will call the meeting to order. Are there any initial comments from the public?
I have no comments.
Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to item three, information item, fiscal year 23-24 audit presentation. Up to you folks. How are you running this?
Do you want to say a few words first?
No, I'm good. I want to introduce Ingrid,
audit
partner. Ingrid and Heidi is the audit manager. We've gone through three audits together now. It's been a really good working relationship. Thank you so much for being patient with all of us. So please go ahead with the presentation.
Okay, so the just the cover slide is this presentation today is covering a two-year audit for the fiscal years 23 and 24. This next slide shows the reports that we issued as a result of the audit. So our primary goal is to be able to issue an opinion on the financial statements. And then because we do an audit in accordance with government auditing standards, we also issue a separate report on internal control and compliance. And then there's two additional letters, and I believe all these documents are included in your packet. There's another letter that contains certain required communications. And then if we have any other recommendations for improvement that are not listed in the report on internal control, we issue a separate management letter. So today we'll touch on the highlights of those reports. So overall, as far as our audit opinions on the financial statements, similar to fiscal year 22, we did issue a modified opinion on the water and sewer funds because of missing developer donated the infrastructure, which I'll go over further in the findings. We issued an unmodified opinion on the remaining funds. So the drainage, solid waste, and security funds we issued was considered an unmodified or clean opinion on the financial statements. One of the other highlights, and I'll go over this in more detail as well, but there was a reduction in the overall number of adjustments during the audit process. And the adjustments are when we identify changes to your accounting records that were compared to what's been reported. So definitely a reduction there, but we'll discuss the numbers further. As I mentioned, in order to fast track the audits and get them caught up, management decided to have us do two audits concurrently, fiscal year 23 and 24. So we did two audits, so that's the reason for two separate financial statements. And I'll go over this in more detail in a following slide, but the district has made significant improvements in addressing the internal control weaknesses that were identified in previous audits. So we'll get into more of the details. So this slide is just a summary of the 2023 and 2024 asset side of your balance sheet. It's excerpted from page 4 of the audited financial statements. Just to highlight some of the changes there, you'll see the restricted cash went up about $1 million. Restricted cash is mostly unspent developer fees and then customer fees collected from customers for capital replacements. And the reason for that increase is just that the amounts collected were higher than what was spent. There was about $590,000 spent and about $1.5 million collected. You'll see a line item there for the interfund loan. So this is the loan from the sewer fund to the water fund for the wastewater treatment plant expansion. That was down $129,000. Regular payments are being made on that loan. The original balance in 2014 was $1.5 million. And the $240,000 is remaining as of June 30, 2024, not including interest that's also being repaid on that loan. Capital assets are basically your infrastructure, your land, and your buildings, and that totals $31 million. Overall, there was about a $900,000 increase, but that's really a combination of two components. There was about $2.3 million of capital additions during the year. Most of that was the developer-donated infrastructure. So the district did start recording that developer-donated infrastructure in fiscal year 23 and 24, and those show up as additions in your capital assets. Those additions are offset by about $1.6 million of depreciation. So this is the liability side of your statement of net position. The district has no debt. Really the most significant liabilities that you have are related to your pension and retiree medical benefits. And overall there was a $1.3 million increase. Most of that is in the OPEB or other post-employment benefits liability, and those numbers are really just a function of actuarial calculations, and there's estimates that change that contributed to that increase. Next. So net position, so this is basically like the equity side of your balance sheet, and you'll see the most significant portion of your equity is tied up in your infrastructure. So you have about $31 million of infrastructure assets. Those are amounts that are not spendable. Your restricted funds are about $10 million. Increasing about $1 million, as I mentioned on the earlier slide, that's mostly because of unspent development fees and customer replacement fees. Those restricted funds are based on a reserve policy that dates back to 2012, which you'll see in a recommendation later in the presentation. We're recommending that be updated. But so basically those amounts of $10 million are available to spend for capital-related items. Your unrestricted net assets overall is $1.5 million. That's really just a function of the fact that your balance sheet, you're recording those pension and OPEB liabilities, which is why I have that also on the slide. So $7.6 million of that... what's causing that deficit is because of those liabilities that are not amounts that are currently payable, but the accounting standards require those to be reflected on your balance sheet for future retirees. So without that, you can see you would have a positive unrestricted net position. Also included with, actually if you can go back, just sorry. So I have a line item on there for board designated. There's about $568,000 that is classified as board restricted on within your general ledger, but it's not discussed in your reserve policy. And we've been working with Cecilia to kind of go back and figure out what that's related to, and so that that can be addressed in the reserve policy. So that's in addition to the restricted funds, but it is earmarked as capital. But we're trying to determine the source of that. So this is a summary of your statement of revenues and expenses that are on page 6 and 7 of the audited financial statements. Your operating revenues are showing a $718,000 increase. Most of that is increase in solid waste charges. Your operating expenses increased about $1 million. Most of that's related to personnel-related costs, including the pension. Whenever you adjust the pension liability, that results in additional pension expense. So most of that had to do with the pension liability changes as well as overall salary increases. So in this slide, we're showing a net income or net loss actually from operations of $3.2 million. But you're also using property taxes to fund your operations, and those are reported within non-operating revenue. So you can see the $1.6 million is mostly property taxes and then also some interest earnings. Capital contributions of $3.5 million, about $1.9 million of that is the developer donated infrastructure. So that's not actually cash, but the developers donated that infrastructure, and it shows up as capital revenue on your financial statements. This line item also includes developer fees, impact fees, and customer charges that are collected for capital replacement. So overall, you had a net income of $1.9 million. Next. Some of the other pages in the financial statements, pages 11 and 12, show the Community Facilities District. And this was the a district that was set up to issue debt. So the debt isn't debt of the district, and so it's not showing up on its balance sheet, but the CFD is treated as a custodial fund of the district, and it has a net position of $1.1 million and debt of $5.1 million.
This is the bond, right?
The bond,
Yeah.
And the revenues exceed expenses in that fund by $45,000. I just wanted to highlight a couple of the footnotes because they do have a significant impact on your financial statements. The pension footnote is note 8 within the financial statements. The district's share of the pension liability is $5 million. The district is part of a pool with other smaller agencies within the state. And so there's a calculation done of the district's share of the liability, and it increased about $300,000 compared to the previous year. And that's mostly just because of actual results differing from what the actuaries originally estimated. And then, you can go to the next page. So the OPEB is the other post-employment benefits, and this is the retiree health care benefits. And it's showing that you have a liability of $2.6 million that's based on an actuarial evaluation done in 2023. The district hires an actuary to do that calculation every 2 years. It's increased about $959,000, mostly because of updates to the actuarial assumptions. There were no contributions that the district made to the plan in either of the two fiscal years. However, you are paying retiree health care or the premiums for health care of about $297,000 in the fiscal year, each fiscal year. So the report on internal control and compliance, there were no new findings, no current year findings, but we do continue to report and follow up on previous findings that are mentioned in previous reports. This report still lists three material weaknesses, and really it's just a function of being able to get caught up with the where you currently are in your accounting processes. So the first item is ensuring that the accounting system is kept up to date. In some of these past fiscal years, bank reconciliations weren't done timely, payroll transactions weren't updated timely. In management's response to this item that you'll see in the report, my understanding is that the current financial statements now are being presented to the board, so the accounting has been caught up as of January of 26. But again, we're talking about June 23 and 24. So our report just covers that time period. We don't audit what is currently happening. We'll eventually get caught up to that current time period. The other item in there is just improving the year-end closing procedures and ensuring that processes are in place so that books are closed on a timely basis. We did see an improvement in as far as the being prepared for the fiscal year 23 and 24 audits. Accounts were reconciled prior to the start of the audit, which helped to minimize the number of adjustments that we had during the audit process. And then the third item that's still reported as a material weakness is the developer donated infrastructure. And as I mentioned, the district has recorded those donated infrastructure amounts that were deeded in fiscal year 23-24, but they need to go back to previous years and quantify the amount of developer donated infrastructure. So that's the reason why this is still on here as a finding to be resolved. We had no significant deficiencies. The items that were mentioned in previous audit for significant deficiencies have all been addressed. There were four, actually, if you can go back to the last item on there. So there were four findings that were mentioned in the previous audit report that were removed because those were adequately addressed. And the required communications letter lists a number of items that we're required to discuss with you, just to highlight some of those items. Pleased to report that there were only four audit adjustments for fiscal year 24 and seven for fiscal year 23. And that's a significant improvement compared to nearly 40 adjustments that we've had in previous audits. So definitely an improvement in the processes for preparing for the audit. And definitely want to recognize that Cecilia did a lot of work to get to that point. And so definitely
my staff
an improvement there.
My staff suffered through it.
There were two items that we identified as unadjusted differences. So those are items that we noted that they were immaterial, so we didn't require adjustment for them. One of them was an invoice for services as of June 30 that were not accrued. And then there was an unreconciled difference between the accrued payroll calculation compared to the general ledger. So those are listed on that required communications letter. But again, they were not material, so we didn't require an adjustment for those.
I believe those are about 0.04%.
Yeah, they were very small amounts. Yeah, I think they probably would have been adjusted, but they were kind of late in the process, so we just didn't feel like they warranted being adjusted. But we're still required to discuss those with you and bring those to your attention. So the management letter, so these are items that don't meet the criteria of being considered to be a material weakness or significant deficiencies, but these are just other items that we noted during the audit. So there were four items. Two of them were issues that came up in our current audit, and then two of them are from previous year's audit. So I'll let Heidi go over those comments.
And so the first item that we found in this year's audit was that when we selected our sample, the district was unable to provide us some of the bills that were sent to the customers so we could recalculate their bills. The district told us that this was because they switched from utility star to Tyler, and although some of the background information was transferred over, they weren't able to pull that documentation due to that. So we don't see that being an issue going forward. During our cash disbursements testing, we noted a large number of voided checks. When we pulled samples, we had to go back multiple times to get the required sample size because there were so many voided checks, and it was hard to determine a check range for numbers because they weren't kept consistent. Yeah. So they have indicated to us by the district that starting in 2027 that they're doing a check, a monthly voided check report, so you guys can keep track of the voided checks. And also the numbers are being tracked, so you have consistent check numbering ranges. The next items Ingrid kind of discussed, these were ones from the prior year, the reserve policy. It doesn't match what's recorded in the GL, the trial balance. The district should review the reserve policy and update it as needed. And then make sure that accounting is in compliance with the policy. The last item was also a carry forward from the prior year, which is the investment policy. It was last updated in 2016, and the government code requires that the investment policy be reviewed by the board annually. So our recommendation is that the board take that and review the policy and approve it going forward.
So I think overall, you can see from the results that there have been significant improvements. You know, the fact that we're almost current, I mean, fiscal year 25, we still have other clients that haven't completed their fiscal year 25 audit, so it's not uncommon. But so it's, you know, definitely improvements. And so I do want to, you know, like I said, commend Cecilia for all the excellent work that she's done in preparing for the audits. You know, she's having to go into fiscal years that she wasn't here doing the accounting. So basically cleaning up other people's messes, I guess you could say, and trying to reconstruct things, which can be difficult. But, you know, she was very responsive during the audit process, and we do appreciate her assistance in the audit and helping out with that. So.
And we already know that. We've been saying that for quite a while. We did have a rather interesting discussion on developer donated deposits and accounting and depreciation of the same, which was like somewhere out in space, but we figured it out.
So does it, you have any questions or other areas that you'd like me to have?
There was a question somewhere.
Yes. We do have one question.
Yeah, so, I'd like some clarification as far as
I'm concerned.
I'd like some clarification as to how and why we define the developer deposits as donations. Is that a contractual basis? Did they actually really donate the money? Can you expand upon that? Because I really am kind of wondering, is that a proper classification to be using donated in the
I'll do the accounting perspective and then you can so I mean, just to clarify, it's not the developer deposits, but what happens if a developer goes in and puts the water infrastructure in the ground before they build a development, but the developer doesn't retain ownership of that infrastructure. That infrastructure, once the development's done, the developer leaves, they deed it over to the district. And then that becomes an asset of the district that needs to be maintained. So there's no cash involved in the developer donated infrastructure. They're basically paying for the infrastructure, and then they're deeding it over to the district. So there's no cash involved in that particular transaction.
Now, is that being done before the approval of hookups and water being able to be supplied?
That's more of an operation.
Yeah, it's when the developer submits plans that get approved for, let's use Murrieta Gardens as an example. All of that water, recycle water meter hookup infrastructure that's laid in there is physically inspected and compared to the plans, and at the point where it is deemed complete, the developer is very happy to give that to the CSD, because from that point on we own that, we get a surety against some of it. But in the long term, it begins a reserving process, because 20 years down the road, when there's infrastructure that has to be replaced or repaired, it becomes the responsibility of the district.
So again, just to clarify, the items that have been recorded on CSD's books, then the developer has released the deed to the district already. Okay,
yes.
I understand that. And then if we decide that they do not get to build, well, we have ownership anyway, so we have the infrastructure at this point. So
well, I'm assuming, okay, that if they have laid infrastructure in the ground, for example, like residences east and west, that ultimately you're going to have development that occurs there. I mean, if in fact there is property out there, Village D, E, F, and G, and H, that subsequently never get developed, there's no infrastructure that's been laid out or defined in any way for that. Therefore, there's nothing there.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
And then it's on our book as an asset because we are required to maintain the whole repair and maintenance.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah, there was we wrestled with this through every one of these audits because there was somehow an unawareness that we owned it, and there was no suggestion that it wasn't properly deeded to us. In accounting terms, you know, we take ownership of that, and we have an asset base that we have to contribute to, and subsequently in the world I come from, that's when the depreciation schedule starts.
So are you almost saying to me that there was no agreement reviewed by CSD prior to the development?
Yeah, oh no, it happens. There is an agreement. There's a set of plans and a complete approval process that happens. This is a back-end accounting procedure that we're talking about here.
Right, okay. Nobody knew that the deed had to be recorded.
Yeah, we own it.
To know.
And there's no, we don't record the deed, that doesn't go to the county, as far as I can remember. And the reason I believe that we didn't record anything in the prior years is because, and this is according to Travis, from 2007 until they started building the gardens, there was really no development.
There was,
concur.
Yeah, there's between the years of 2006 and the beginning of 2017, it's an easy number to remember. This community built exactly 100 houses in over 10 years. And they were all on fully developed property.
So there was nothing to be deeded to us because it had been deeded years and years before.
It's infrastructure that in some cases had been put in here in the 1990s.
Okay, so that I think is the missing link there, is that there was no infrastructure in those years before.
Well, we're still in the process of making sure from 2007 everything is recorded.
Right.
So we'll still dive in and
we're still
look
looking,
at
but
all
we
the
don't
development
think we're
gonna... that we have a list to make sure that all these are developed, recorded. So we're still in that process.
Okay, so, but Amelia, this goes beyond, I mean, I know this is a finance meeting and we're talking about audits, but this process goes beyond the finance committee because, you know, we're talking about deeding, but the other issue that we have is easements, because if something is not legally subdivided, then we need to have an easement that goes to allow us access to that. And we're having that issue with several items right now, are we not? Still, or well, I guess we decided that we don't
yeah,
have an easement.
I mean,
we don't own it, but
if we don't have an easement, then we're not. Then we decided that if we don't have an easement,
so we need to have a process control that originates with a general manager so that we can do everything all at once on one sheet. Does that make sense?
Well, in the last two that we recorded, including this current financial, it comes with an easement page. So I can show it to you and you can see that that passage, we're allowed to go in and do repair maintenance. I don't know about in the past.
Okay,
but
if we have an easement, that does need to be recorded, yes? I mean, we can't just say, here's our finance document, it says we have
not
an easement.
Not for financial. Financial, we did what we
needed
to do.
But
that's a separate topic that
I think I said that. So we need to have that as part of our process.
That's part of the process, agreed.
Okay.
And I know you find this hard to believe, but I have a lot of stuff that goes on, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're interested, the last time that we recorded, oh, let me do a little research, Bill. I'll report back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the process for that.
I just like to have things get to the top of our mind as we're addressing them.
Yes.
Okay. So, any further questions on this year, not this year, the year we just discussed. Okay, on to the next year.
Is there any more questions regarding the audit financials? If not, then I'd like to thank our auditors. Any other questions? Yes, we have 2 more years to go, okay? Just to remind you that we have 2 years down, 3 audits down, but we have 2 more years to go, okay?
And how long will that take to review?
I just started that process, and I'll give you an update maybe next time. Thank you so much.
And then, so we can finish this item. Okay. Is it the will of the committee to recommend this go to the board for approval at the meeting in 2 days?
Yeah.
And that's for both years' audits.
Yeah.
And then we're going to present this as a final audit. Is that your recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you.
I believe so. The other thing, Amelia, is that I noticed in the packet that this is like a five slide item.
Okay.
And the slide deck we're going through here is 156 pages.
Oh, that's the slide deck that you see in the packet. There were some changes, and they were just changing the page numbers. And so that was what Ingrid went through, her colored okay. slides. And then in addition to that, there's all the whole entire audit.
And where is that located, where the public can find it?
It's located in the finance packet because we were waiting for you to approve
okay.
it to go to all the right. board. We'll put it on immediately. We'll take off subject to change. Is that in a PDF, Ingrid?
Yeah. They'll, I'll make any, you know, minor changes. We're in the process of doing a proofreading and we'll make
okay.
changes. So the plan is to have the bound reports. I'll bring those, I believe, on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But I'll send you the PDFs probably later this afternoon.
Okay.
We just need to make sure that we have the complete report easily locatable by the public, otherwise Ms. Gale is going to be commenting.
Yes, and comments are always appreciated.
And Ms. Gale has a comment.
And we have until tomorrow, we have until 24 hours before the meeting to have that posted, and if we don't have it posted 24 hours before, then we have to print it up. So we will have it posted, but we can put the draft in now. You can move the draft over. In fact, I'll do it right now.
I understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just a little confused. It looked like you went through, and you were just talking about you had 23 here and 24 here, but then you just discussed 24, the change from 23 to 24, instead of discussing first 23 and then 24. And but why did you do it that way?
Well, then I don't like to focus a lot on the older numbers just because they are quite dated. you know, we were talking about 23, and there really wasn't, as far as the rest of there's two separate reports that were issued, really just for ease, but they're virtually identical. The findings that are listed are identical, just updated numbers.
Just to Gail, to be clear, it takes about a year to adjust to this. An audit is 23-24, and then an audit is 24-25,
right.
And then an audit is 25-26, mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, we operate on a fiscal year that overlaps 2 calendar years, which no sane company anymore on Earth does.
But I understand.
Okay.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you. We'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we have you first thing at 5.
Okay.
So, like 5 minutes after is when you'll start.
Thank you.
And then I will have one seat available for you here. Because Brandon's not coming, but Corey is. Okay.
Right.
But then I'll have lots of seats available over here for Heidi coming to the event.
All right.
Thanks, Ingrid.
Thanks. So, moving on. When is 25-26 presentation? Is that
what fiscal year 25. Let's talk about the audit preparation. I'm waiting for it to load. Yeah. It's actually page 148.
You want to go 148?
Is there 148 there? Yeah. You might want to go to
where
this one.
You just want to go to, okay.
Yeah, this one.
Yep, great.
So now that we have fiscal year 23 and 24 completed, we're already in preparation for audit fiscal year 25. So we started that process somewhere in the middle of July, and or end of July. And this is the year when Mark was here. So the last financial report issued by him was February 2025. So there's a process for us to now reconstruct the accounting from March to June. So we had to put in all the revenue for those months and also all the payroll transactions and reconcile it to, you know, a source document that we want to ensure payroll costs are all recorded. That process is about 90% done already as of this point. I did not include it in this report because I type up this report earlier. And then we started drilling down on the accounts payable transaction. That was most of the problem in the past 2 years audit or 3 years audit. We again found a lot of duplicated transactions in there. I think it's part of those voided check and voided checks that the previous accounts payable person that kept voiding the checks but didn't take it out from the system. So we had to go through all those and pull out duplicate transaction. And that was done by the girl right sitting right next to you. So she painfully went through the whole year and ironed out which one is duplicated and take it out from the system. Because if it's not taken out, then you have duplicate expenses in the book. The bond accounting is substantially done. I just need to review that. And there's transaction floating between RMCSD and the bond accounting. That part is not reconciled. That's why I put 80% completed. Chris, who's the guy sat next to you, he's in charge of the fixed assets. So he's beginning already reviewing all the repair and maintenance to make sure that all the fixed assets are captured. He's about 10% done. So the box there, reconstruction of accounting is 60% done. Bank rec, we started that process of 5%, and the bond is 80% done. So that's the box checklist. If you turn to the next page, this is the part that the auditor recommended and noted the big difference. Last year of 40 adjustment, this year we have 4. And it's all because we have this checklist that everything needs to be reconciled on a balance sheet before we submit the audit. As of this point, we've done AP, accrued expenses, and the 3 boxes that I checked. And also, if you go down a little bit, we've really started doing the bond. It's substantially completed. So there's still a lot to be completed. To answer your question, when can we finish that? I want to just, if there's nothing weird going on in these audit, I can finish it in 2 months. But as soon as I open up the car, the hood, I find things in there that should not be there. So that takes a long time to clean up. So that's why I'm reluctant to give you a date, because I don't know what's sitting in that book. At the same time, I'm also cleaning up audit 26 as well. Now, to go back, the audit 25, it's due, it's overdue. But the audit for fiscal year 26 is actually not overdue, because we have technically 12 months after the year ended to file the report with the county. So this one, we're working on it, and this is the year that we've been issuing monthly financial statements since January of this year. So we have substantially a lot of things done, but the rent reconciliation still need to go back and do, and the balance sheet reconciliation. It's the same process. But we started concurrently, so we can get it through. I want to get it done, get 2 audits done by the end of this year. Whether they're done or not, you know, I want to submit to them and get it done. So that's my goal. And there's a small little thing down there called accounting fiscal year 26. We are already compiling July of fiscal year 27. It will be done very soon. Any question before I talked about the fiscal year ending 26 accounting for June?
It's not so much a question, but a statement.
Comment.
I guess what really concerns me in going forward, I know you're doing a great job, and it appears that you are from the results, but what concerns me is in the past, how on earth this board and this CSD community ever made decisions based on the financials and how on earth the budget was ever put together and compiled. That really concerns me. And I have a lot of lack of trust in things that have gone on in the past. And again, I want to make that statement because you as board members, who was watching the house here? Was Mark not reviewing things? I mean, this is basic accounting. I'm a seasoned professional in finance and in accounting. And I've never seen such, I mean, it's unconscionable, and particularly given our financial condition here in CSD and in Rancho Marietta, how this was even enabled to go on. Bank reconciliations not being looked at, financials, transactions not being reviewed, and double accounting. I just want to make that statement. I'm very glad you're here. I'm glad to see some of the progress. But it really baffles me on how decisions are made.
So, MJ, before you walk away, you're absolutely right. And if you look back for the last 7 to 10 years, it's beyond comprehension. You know, it was just one very small step above a shoebox with receipts and a checkbook, you know? And, you know, every month you'd get your packet of canceled checks and they just put it in the door and they never even look at it. It was one little step ahead of that. And in the last, 16, 18 months since Cecilia's been here, we've come a long, long way.
I have acknowledged that.
Okay.
And again, I have, when the grand jury issued their initial report, had heard comments to the fact that, oh, we don't need to listen to the grand jury. I mean, this was brought up 4 years ago. And I'm kind of astounded somebody would even make that kind of a comment and be that arrogant.
I don't recall ever, personally, and I don't recall sitting here with the other four people, anybody saying, well, we don't really give a damn what the grand jury said. I think that was evident in our response. There is a difference between an order and a recommendation that the grand jury issues. That was understood, okay? And I think you will see where that separation occurs again, for example, when the grand jury and then subsequently the Sacramento Bee reported, oh, Rancho Marietta for 37 years has been giving away free water to the developer, to the country club. That's not true. And it's not true based on the agreement, and it's not true based on actual economics. And I think that is agendized for the meeting on Wednesday night as to what the board feels about what they said with that recommendation and what we will do going forward. So it crosses over from accounting to operational, but I don't recall ever, you know, hearing anyone on this board say, well, you know, oh, so what? We got a grand jury. There was a succession. We went through five general managers. We went through periods where we had accounting being done by somebody that was not trained in accounting, okay? And generally, when you saw the reports that were prepared, they looked, you know, on the surface to be quite professional. You know, am I sitting in there with a green visor, or is anybody else on this board sitting in there with a green visor studying these numbers in a way that Cecilia might? Well, if Cecilia had been here during that period, we probably wouldn't have had that problem, but we did. So the best we could do at that point was to recover. And beginning in May of last year, okay, so which is probably about 16 months, we have rebuilt 5 years worth of accounting from the ground up. So when you hear perfectly valid cries of where's our audits, where's our audits, there's an understanding that when I quizzed the last general manager that was here as to, okay, well, how many people we got working on this? And I looked over here to Mark, who was her predecessor, and he said, well, it's me, okay? Subsequent to that, at that meeting, we brought up and approved an addition of two more people to assist here. And now I think we're at, what, five? How many we got working on it now? Three now? Okay, we peaked, I think, at five, didn't we? How many did we have total people working on it?
Three.
So,
we've never been five.
The rubber half people.
Oh, yeah, we've never been five people. It's
five.
Just that
okay. So,
some people quit.
It looks that way.
So, you know, I don't know that we can do any more. I don't know that having people crashing into each other at this point gets it done any faster. Okay, so it is what it is. What's important parallel to that is we're getting financial statements at this point that we can trust. So that's where we are.
And let's not minimize it. The audits are our first step. As John just said, not only did Cecilia have to rebuild our entire book of accounts, but we're also preparing to transition to a new accounting system because the old accounting system is going to sunset. So it's a very complex task. There's other accounting checks and balances that we probably aren't completely up to speed on, but the first step is having Cecilia complete the audits, and then we just, you know, like a house that hasn't been cleaned in 10 years, we just go one room at a time and do what we can. And I mean, that's so. But so, you know, thanks for we need input from people like you who kind of know what's going on and maybe know where we need to look next, because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't care and a lot of people who just kind of pound their fist on the table, and neither of those are constructive. So thank you.
I think the in parallel with the accuracy of our existing financial statements and the completing of the audits, the real goal here in the final audit presentation that'll occur in the next year is that we get a clean audit. Okay? We've got an audit that's telling us we know where our money is. And we have an audit that, you know, evidentially is proving that from the beginning of this process that there's no fraud involved here. But we need a clean audit, because at some point in time this board is going to have to reconcile the fact that the asset base of this organization, which according to these audits is about $50 million, okay, dates back in age to somewhere around 1990, 1985, in some cases even earlier than that, okay? And we are woefully under-reserved, and we have known that since 2017 when Les Clark and I were sitting here yelling about it. And taking it in a radical way, $100 at a clip, okay, is unpalatable to the community and probably should be, but it's also, for lack of a better description, peeing in the ocean, because it ain't going to get us where we need to go. What's going to get us to where we need to go is some alternative of long-term financing, whether that be bonds, whether that be loans, whether that be state-guaranteed money. We're going to have to raise capital so that we can level that load over the next 30-year period, just like every other water district does. One of the things that sounds wonderful when they mentioned it in their initial presentation, oh, the district has no debt. And the district has never had any debt. That's because the district, in its attempt throughout at least 15 years, decided that lower rates were more important than raising money for reserves. We have to compensate for that. We got away with it, okay? We got away with it in the 1990s. We got away with it in the 2000s, because a lot of what we were picking up revenue for was in the South, which was relatively brand new infrastructure. It's not anymore. It's 25 years old. So that's, I think, really tantamount in this is to is to focus over the next calendar year on getting our audits complete and current, and in that last one, getting a clean one that we can take to the bond market, or we can take to the state, or we can take to the grant people and get money on a long-term basis.
I mean, we're kind of getting sidetracked here. I'm not a huge fan of bonds and long-term debt. I mean, because what we're doing is we're financing repairs. If you get a bond, my opinion is you get a bond, you do it for a huge capital improvement, but you shouldn't really amortize ongoing repairs because you run out of money and you're still repaying the bond for the next 20 years. So we have to look at that very closely. But the first place to look would be having a staff members who could approach the state for grants and aid. That's the first thing that we need to do, is to try to get the free money. Okay. So where are we at
Continue?
Here, Cecilia?
Can you go to two pages down? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're talking about June financial statement, June 2026, going back. I know there are a lot of years I'm throwing at you, but we're back to the last month of the last fiscal year. So I want to make sure that you know, this is the financial that I started in July. And at that time, my focus was the fiscal year 22 audit, and then I moved to 23 and 24. So there are a lot of things done, a lot of things here that I want to emphasize. I'm not looking very closely at the current financial. And this financial is still considered preliminary financial because I still have to go back and do bank reconciliation. And I still have to reconcile all the balance sheets account. So I'm putting it as a disclaimer that this will subject to change. And this statement represents all 12 months of fiscal year 26, and the expense as a percentage of the annual budget should be 100. So anything that it goes over 100, I'm gonna explain in my detail. So here is the highlight of this financial statement. Operating revenue, 98% of the budgets. Actual 9.3 million or 9.4 million compared to a budget of 9.6. And I'll dive in as to why there's a difference. Then operating expenses, actual 7.1, budget 6.8 or 6.9 million. We're at 103% over budgets. G&A expenses, actual 3.1, budget 2.6. The G&A expenses were over by 116% budgets. All in all, the total expenses is 10.2 million actual, 9.5 budgets, so we're at 107% of the budget, a little bit over. Am I boring?
I'm crying out loud, I'm sorry.
You did. Thank you though. Mm-hmm. Operating income losses, actual is $819,000. The budget was $34,000. And so, of course, that budget percentage is all out of whack. But you can tell one thing is we are covering the loss with the property tax reserve, which ideally should be a slush fund for us, but it's not happening now. Then, so you can tell that from the actual perspective, our operating results, we have a net income of $170,000 because of the property tax. And that's compared to an annual budget of a little bit of $1 million. That's very out of whack. Now, I split my financial statement in operation and non-operation, because the operation is where the utility revenue comes from and it should fund all the operation. The non-operating operation activity has the reserve funding, which you can tell that it's we have an actual of 2 million compared to a budget of 1.8. And that fluctuation is due to developer activity. So sometimes we have higher revenue coming in than the budget, we have lower in certain categories. And then the next item that I consider non-operation activity is the developer donation. and that we have 3.385 million donated to us from Riverview Phase 2. So that's recorded as such. So overall, the net income is 5.4 compared to the budget of 2.8 solely because of that 3.4 donated asset. My focus tend to be looking at the operating income and loss to see, are we balancing things out? Because technically, if we do it right, our utility revenue should cover all the expenses. Okay. And ideally going forward, we should really focus on having the property tax as a slush fund for us, as a reserve. That would be better for us strategically. Now, next page, please. So I also now, because it's June year end, I provided an overview of the June 30th by fund. So that was not included back then, but you can tell that from we have the water fund, wastewater, drainage, solid waste, and security. I'm going to fast forward to the operating income and loss. For water fund, we have $1 million loss. And wastewater, 245 income. And drainage, we have a 91K loss. Solid waste, we have 35 income. And security is 101. Now, security, most people will ask, how come we have an income? And it seems like when I drill down, it's the benefits and the salary were over budgets, especially on the benefits. I'm not sure how that was budgeted back then. And that caused the income here. Now, the second line right next to the operation income is the property tax revenue. That was allocated based on the budgets. And when I'm done with the financial, I will reallocate them to put it where the loss should be. So that is, I will go through the board to re-amend that property tax allocation. So right now is sitting according to where the budget was. Any question regarding that?
No.
Okay, so let's go to the detail analysis next page. Right, so I want to talk about operating revenue. We were at 98%, but it should be 100, right? So it seems like when we did the budgets, the budget was calculated based on the number of connections instead of number of invoices. So we're 2% down because of that. Investment earning and interest income total 189K as compared to the annual budget of 97, which I've been reporting for the past so many months that Mark was budgeting it very conservatively. So that's why we have a higher revenue. Salary and wages, the total operating expenses as a whole is 103 versus, which is a little bit over the target mainly. I'm not gonna go through all those details, but salary wages, we have significantly different makeup. We don't have the director of operation for a number of months. Security also did not hire full staff for the whole 12 months. So we also have done retroactive adjustment too. So that caused a deviation from the original budgets. But overall, when you look at the 103, it's all the repair and maintenance that we have, which was never budgeted. All those emergency that we had in the last so many months, we don't have the budget for it. But in the fiscal year 27, we did budget for some emergency, contingency. So, and if you go to the next page, I sort of included all the repair and maintenance by month. What's going on each month, why we have higher repair and maintenance. So if you scroll down a little bit to contractual adjustment, contracted services, it's an amount that it's 107% of annual budget. Out of that, 1.9 million belongs to Cal Waste company. And then 53 belongs to the quarterly fee that we have to pay to County of Sacramento. And then there's some $20,000 that we pay for Lomas to study the developer fee. And then again, we pay $268,000 to Domicili for various kind of engineering fee. I plan to go back to each invoice and pull them out, which one is developer related, which one is actual engineering study. So there's some work there. And when I see that those are developer, I'll move them to non-operating activity. Next page, please. G&A expenses, we're at 117, over the target of 100. And as you can tell, since we started this year, we have a lot of changes with personnel. Me, I'm not in 12 months in that category. I was officially hired in September, so salary is a little bit lower at that time, but in consulting expenses is higher. HR to go, and the HR and recruitment fee, we never budgeted for HR to go, but it's there. So there's a lot of changes that we made this fiscal year that accounts for the 116. All the details are in front of you. There's under budget in OPAP, other post employment benefit. So that costs another 200K. It should be 400K, but they budget for 200 and something. So all in all, legal fee also is another big category that we've worked on a lot with the FSA agreement. So there's a lot of developer activity that we use. And when I'm going to go back to all the legal fee and make sure to pull out all the FSA required expenses and put it into non-operating. So that's currently sitting in G&A costs. There's also a lot of fee in the consulting because I've also hired my accountant company with Great Plains to restructure the financial that we have in this packet. He helped me to program it, and we've done interfund processing, allocation module, BAME reg, fixing the AP. All of them are done by this company that helps me to restructure the database. So those are sitting in here unbudgeted, but it's necessary, yes.
So what is FSA? Is that related to the benefits or services? Oh, your financial services.
Financial security, okay. Yeah. And that's related to the development.
Sure.
All those invoices needs to be pulled down to the non-operating activity because it shouldn't be funded by utility billing.
Got it.
So,
thank you.
You want to say, before you keep turning pages here.
Okay.
There's a couple of things. So when you're talking about allocation of professional staff time, and we're supposed to not only be allocating that to a fund, but we're also supposed to be sending a bill to the developers. And I've never heard or seen of the revenue side of the equation. Have we got a process to do that yet?
I've only done up till fiscal year 24, the audit. I hesitate to build them yet because I have two more years in front of me that I need to iron out. But in the two audits, I've done a really nice schedule. The girl right next to you, she's done a really nice schedule capturing all the expenses per development, and we've booked the revenue, but I want to wait until these two year audit to send them a bill.
But
yeah,
you have so at least this, accrued for.
Yeah.
MJ, this kind of falls in the category of things that we need to be doing that we're getting to.
Yeah.
But we do realize most of them that exist. Now, one other line item here, Cecilia, on page 147, it says CAL FIRE crew for November emergency work, $19,000. Is that really?
Where is that?
August?
March
or May?
Or March.
May.
Or May?
It says page 4 down on the page.
Oh, the CAL FIRE crew for November emergency work for 19K. Yeah.
I mean, this is when Corey got the crew to come out to, no?
No, those were prisoners. Those were not CAL FIRE.
Okay. Where was, okay.
I can ask Corey. You want me to send him a message?
No, that's not me.
Travis is the one who gave me the information.
I don't think that's accurate, because I went over there. This is, the culvert as it goes through part of Carol's property. There's all sorts of trees there. We said, hey, it's going to rain, and Corey said, hey, I'll get CAL FIRE guys to come. And I even drove over there. They had CAL FIRE trucks and CAL FIRE guys.
Okay.
And Corey said that that was going to be on a no charge basis, and we're thrilled. And so here's the line item for $19,000.
Good catch. I'll go back and ask Travis.
I can check, but $19,000 is not free.
Well, you know, you and your higher accounting
pal. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Because I'm sure there wasn't, because a $19,000 expenditure, that would have required board approval.
Yeah.
So, and I don't remember that. So
I will go back and double check that.
Just a point. All right, keep going.
I am done. Do you guys have any questions? All right.
Is there an admin charge on the CFD 2014-1?
There's
an admin charge, in other words, a chargeback for administration, or did that go outside and gets billed directly?
You mean for all the developer?
For the Sullivan Water Plant.
For the bond.
Funding, for the bond. In other words, our administration of that.
So when I did the bond as part of the audit, I charged those people who were working on the audit back to the bond.
Okay.
And they pay for it. They have a segregated account inside the Wilmington Trust called administration expenses.
Yeah, that's what I was.
I did charge it back.
Okay.
And I did charge about for 3-4 years, $60,000 back to give it back to RMCSD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Further questions? Is that it? Anything else? I don't know. I'm waiting for Bill to come back. See if he has anything else.
I just want to make a comment. The 3-year audit, it's when I see the financial statement, the finalization, I felt really relieved. So is my team. It's a very, the accounting was so chopped up, you know, no bang rag. The AP person was a security guard, and you know, all those stuff that she entered. AP, as you said, you're the finance major. AP is the first step of the accounting. If she's entering things incorrectly, I have to go back and recreate the whole thing. What a relief that we're done.
Well, you should be proud of your accomplishments.
My team too. They've gone through a lot, so.
I've sat here for 7 years hearing, oh, the audit isn't done, oh, the fine, and this is the first time that I'm hearing, oh, the audit's done. Look, the financial statement is here, and it's true, and it's accurate, and not, well, you know, it's really hard to figure it out, and there's a lot of things that we have.
I'm
finally
felt
getting
like,
answers. Thank you.
Yeah, I felt like we had not been having the right person in the post who could do financial reporting. You need the financial reporting, the GASB, the GAAP knowledge to do the accounting right. So not having the right person in the post hurts the organization.
Great job.
Thank you.
Anything further? Any director comments? You have anything? Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you,
everyone. Thanks for coming, everybody.